Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
And I hope everyone's having a great week so far. Today we are talking about Oddity, released in 2024, released last year. And this is a pretty good movie, man. I like some supernatural stuff going on. It's really, really good. But first, hey, if you haven't, you know, followed us on Instagram, go ahead and do that. Link will be in the description of this episode. And yeah, you know, spread this podcast around. Tell your friends about it. Tell your mom about it. Tell your dad about it.
Tell your cousin that you haven't spoke to in a couple of years.
Yeah, tell them about it.
So let them know.
So they can spread it. But this movie, it's about pretty much supernatural objects and supernatural kind of, I guess, abilities. Because she does have, like, abilities. Had, yeah,
the sister definitely has some psychic abilities.
Yeah, so it's about... pretty much what happens is, like, after her sister gets murdered, Darcy looks to uncover the mystery using dark forces, but while doing so, she uncovers a shocking truth leading to a tragic conclusion. And it was a true spin for me at the end. I mean, it was wild. I didn't even think about it because the way it's set up, it's just leading you thinking.
Yeah, you think you've got it all figured out. And
yeah.
Like, it's, yeah.
But... in reality, because you think that she pretty much her sister in the beginning, they're moved into a new house. This, of course, is in like the UK
house. It's
it's like a house giant
mansion.
Yeah,
it is like, yeah, it is gigantic and just it's an estate.
Yeah, like, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so she's in the house and obviously
she's like remodeling or getting everything ready.
Yeah. They're getting ready to move in and start moving stuff around. And she, you know, she finds the one place in the house with signal.
Yeah, which is like upstairs
in
the corner.
Yeah, upstairs in the corner, which was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, so she obviously, you know, due to the fact that she's found signal, you know, you want to let your loved ones know. So she calls her husband, you know, Timmis, right? Dan Timmis?
I think it's Ted. Yeah, Ted or Dan.
Is it Ted? Yeah. So anyways, Dr. Timmis is the reason I don't remember his first name because they always call him Doctor.
Yeah.
Through the rest of the film. So she gives him a call and lets him know that basically she has found a place with signal, to which he is surprised. And the one cool thing, you know, you're listening to the podcast, so you're going to get the spoilers anyways.
Yeah. If you haven't checked it out, it's on Shudder.
Yeah.
And I think you can rent it too. I mean,
you could rent it.
It's like, also available, you know, they were selling it at Walmart too, like. So it's available on DVD as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it just came out last year. So it's still readily available in the retail market.
But, anyways, sorry, you're saying...
Oh, no. So Dr. Timmis, when he's on the phone because she calls him, it's, you know, it's kind of a spoiler, but it's kind of goes back to the film. And he's talking to her and he kind of references, like, I am the villain.
Yeah, or I can be the villain.
I can be the villain. And it's kind of funny because later in the film, he ends up being the villain.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like that psychic foreshadowing that, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like the thing, you know, you don't understand what they're saying, but they're saying, you know, the dog is the thing. Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, he says that in there. So she's remodeling and you find out that he is a, you know, he's a doctor at a psychiatric ward, pretty much. And he's taking care of these patients. And I guess one of them got out. Or they were like they were
yeah,
released.
Yeah, he was released.
He
yeah.
was released.
Yeah, and that was Olin Book or Bull. Olin Bull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he knocks on the door. Well, first, you get the eerie feeling of the house. You get the size of it and how dark it is because it's a very old house or estate. It's a giant house. And you kind of get the feel of it. It's showing camera shots, which was done really well to kind of show every corner, every shadow that's in the house, you know, anything that could be lurking behind, like you're looking everywhere. And so she's like setting up everything and she has a camera set up and it's taking pictures and stuff like that. And pretty much she calls her sister and is, you know, talking to her and they're, you find out that they're really into the supernatural. Not just them, but their mother was as well. And they're pretty much talking about how, you know, she didn't capture anything on the camera, just like some orbs and stuff. And she, you know, they're talking, and she says that they're connected. That's the last thing you hear on that conversation. But at night, her, you know, Dr. Timmis has to work overnight, so she decides to stay at the house by herself and fix everything up.
She's even more creepy because, dude, like,
I don't know. Yeah, man, it's out in the country.
It's out in the country. It's out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, and then there's on top no of signal. That, yeah, there's no signal. There's signal in one spot, which is upstairs in the far corner.
Yeah.
And then she's, why she didn't stay upstairs, I didn't get. But, like, she has a tent set up all the way downstairs by the door.
Yeah.
With, like, a lantern inside of it. And I wouldn't stay there. I mean, I'd be there during the day doing, like, the stuff, but I think,
yeah,
you know, I'd get out of Dodge by the time the night fell.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
until it gets, like, hospital, like, until it feels homey.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not camping out in the front door.
I mean, I've camped out in some freaky places, but I'm not camping out, like, you know, in the foyer when you can't see anything and there's, like, a stairway. Like,
that's what bothered me, dude, is you're in a house in a tent. And it really feels creepy. Maybe she didn't feel creeped out because of the stuff that her and her sister are into and, her, you know, her mom was into. But I don't know, man. Like, you're inside and inside, double-layered inside. You don't know what's around you. At least in the woods, yeah. But you're outdoors, though, if you're in a tent. And so you kind of got that feeling of you're technically in some kind of shelter. Whereas I think, like, being in a house and then being inside of a tent inside of a house.
I don't know. For me, I don't know. My rational mind just immediately kicked in. I'm like, this is a huge estate. It's pretty much shaped like a U.
Yeah.
You can go in and it's shaped like a U. So somebody technically could go to the back side of the other side and break a window and hop in.
Yeah.
And then walk around the whole thing. And you'd never hear it. If you put tape around the window and just smashed the window, lightly tapped it, and broke the glass, you could just push it in and then you could hop in. You could be in that house.
Yeah.
Then you're downstairs in the only well-lit, bright old sunshine yellow tent. Nah, that's not gonna happen. Yeah. You're gonna find me in a corner hiding somewhere. Like, I'm.
Well, that's what I was at too. I would have like put it in a corner, but she has it like right in the middle.
Yeah, like right in the foyer, like right when you come in, she's right there.
Yeah, no, not
so
for me.
She's getting ready to turn down and go to sleep and turn in for the night, and so she had gone outside during the phone call with her sister.
Yeah, to find. No, she went outside to find her. Her phone is what she went to go do, if I remember correctly. Because she was talking to her sister, and she was going to went out to the car to find her phone. Couldn't find it. Went back inside, and that's when she hears somebody at the door. And so she opens the little slot to look through, which is cool, but I wish there was, like, a piece of glass there. Like, dude, I wouldn't just have it open just like that. But
it's old world.
It's an old, very, very old estate. But so she finds this guy with one plastic eye that's, you know, just kind of has like a, you know.
It's weird. It's like a piece of glass with like a pupil drawn on it.
Yeah. And he's pretty much telling you like, hey, I was watching you and somebody followed you inside or somebody went inside.
Yeah, when your door was open.
Yeah.
Like,
and so it's a weird interaction and you're kind of thinking to yourself like, dude, don't believe this dude. This dude's whacked out. Like, he's...
Yeah,
psycho.
I mean, he's one-eyed Willie, man. He's got, like, this weird, creepy eye, and he's standing there at your door, so...
Yeah, and he's trying to convince her, like, hey, like, I'll, like, open the door, like, let me in, and I'll, like, make sure that nothing happens to you. She's like, no, I'm not going to open the door. But she's like, I'm just going to call the cops.
And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, first she says, well, my husband's going to be back soon.
And then he, like, lays into it, and he gives us a secret. He's like, Dr. Timmis works nights.
Overnight, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you're his patient. And he's like, yeah. He goes, but, you know, he seemed harmless. Of course, they all do. But, and he's just like, well, yeah, do that. Like, and she's like, well, I'm just going to call the cops. And he's like, well, yeah, do that. He was like agreeing with her. Call the cops. Like, I'll wait out here until they come. And she's like, well, I was looking for my phone and I can't find it. That's why I went out to the car. And he's like, okay, well, if you let me in, I can at least check for you. And she's, like, kind of thinking, like...
Yeah, she doesn't know where to go.
Yeah.
Because even with the story at this point, you're kind of taking it as he could be...
Yeah.
He could be the killer. He could not be the killer.
Yeah. And she's just like, okay, well, what, if you don't find anything in here, you know, what are you going to do? He goes, I'll leave. So she ends up opening the door. And then that's where it ends for her. because then you find out a year later, she was killed by what's his name? By Olin.
Olin, yeah.
And you cut to Ted walking into the
Well, remember when she's in the foyer, he doesn't get let in. Olin doesn't ever come inside.
Oh yeah, that's right. He doesn't get, that's right.
She dismisses Olin. Olin,
I remember that, yeah.
He pulls kind of a weird correlation. But he pulls like a Clockwork Orange and he's like, fine then, I'll just stay out here and I'll go look around. And it's kind of like, okay. So then she goes in, like she closes the
latch. I can't believe I forgot about that.
And she goes into the tent and she obviously has the camera for
paranormal reasons. No, yeah, because she hears something. Yeah.
She hears something outside, and directly across from the opening to the tent is a stairwell.
Yeah.
So she closes the flap on the tent and she's sitting there and she grabs her camera and she starts going through it. Well, obviously she's checking the story that Olin had at the front door of somebody being in there and sneaking in. And when she does that, she actually grabs the camera and she scrolls back to the time that she left. And lo and behold, in the interim between her being outside looking for her phone, lo and behold, there is a stranger in the house.
Yeah. And a freaky mask that is, dude. It's a porcelain mask.
Porcelain mask, yeah.
And it's kind of like the same thing that he has in his eye, but it's like on his, the whole thing is just creepy looking.
I kind of found that to be kind of weird, too, is the fact that the porcelain mask doesn't have the eyes, and Olin has, the porcelain eye.
Yeah. Well, it has the eye. They just look weird.
Yeah, they look, sunken in. I don't know, but...
They look beady.
Hey, the mask was done great. It was very simplistic. It wasn't overdone. You know, it wasn't, the strangers with the, the hunting party mask, but... So yeah, then we obviously you see him go to enter the tent. Then next thing that you see him sitting there, and the tent is covered in blood.
Yeah,
because it essentially is a yellow tent, like with Georgie's jacket. And, in it, and lo and behold, covered in blood now.
Yeah, and then that's when you find out a year later, that she's been murdered, and supposedly by.
Yeah, supposedly Olin Bull, he got the full knot for it. So,
yeah, but that sucks, man. But anyways, Ted goes into her sister's kind of like a oddity shop.
Yeah, it's a curio shop. Yeah,
and she's blind, but it's her twin sister. So she looks exactly like her, except with blonde hair, and obviously she's blind. But pretty much, they're talking about how they're doing, and she's holding a a bell in her hand to call a bellhop, pretty much like a bellboy, pretty much. And she's talking about how it's haunted and that it killed two people already, that a ghost, the bellboy fell down the stair or was pushed down the stairs by a man and broke his neck, and now he every time you ring it, he comes and he kills whoever rings it. But of course, Ted is very skeptical. He doesn't believe any of it. Because he's a doctor. He only believes in science, logic, and stuff like that. But she's very, she's kind of odd to begin with. She's very, she talks about,
Yeah, and plus her hair is stark white.
She's
dressed in I would say early 60s, London vintage.
Yeah.
Very, very dapper, very, very well kept.
Yeah.
But not of this time at all.
You could tell. She's not. Yeah,
you could tell. I mean, she looks like she came off Piccadilly Square or something in London 40, 50 years ago. It just doesn't match. Yeah.
But her and Ted have a somewhat good relationship, despite the tragedy that happens. But Ted tells her that he found, he has something for her, and it's the eye of Olin because he had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And, so he wanted to bring her the eye because she wanted it so bad. He was going to crush it, but he chose to give it to her because she wants to know what Olin was feeling when he killed her sister, which obviously now we know. But she wanted to feel did he feel remorse? Did he not feel any guilt? What happened? What was going through him pretty much? Because she's a psychic. pretty much. Yeah,
so she can sense what's going on. So
that's why she has a lot of haunted objects, and she can kind of read them pretty much. But yeah, she wanted the eye, so she got it. And so Ted's like, hey, whenever you want, come over. But I have a new girlfriend.
Yeah.
She.
I don't know how to tell you this. It's been like a year, but yeah. I'm in a relationship.
Yeah. And I get where the sister was coming from, too. Like, dude, how dare you? Like, because you could tell she's kind of like, oh, really? You got a girlfriend? Like, the sister was suspecting that, you know.
She's throwing it out there. She's like, when exactly did you guys get together? Did you know this person? Because it's a pharmaceutical rep.
Yeah.
So obviously they worked hand in hand. So she's like, did you know this person before, like, my sister got killed?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, we were just friends.
Oh, yeah, we were just business acquaintances, you know, trading Zoloft on the sly.
Yes,
it's like that, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, so, but she takes him up on his offer. Well, when they're getting ready at home, his new girlfriend is going through the camera, his wife's camera, looking at old pictures and stuff like that, and she says, you know, do you want to keep any of them? And he's like, no, like, you know. Which we find out why he doesn't want to keep any of them later on. But of us, it's like, you know, he doesn't want to be rude to his new girlfriend.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be holding on to the past, forging in a new relationship.
Yeah, so, but she says, you know, it'd be weird that if he didn't keep anything. I mean, obviously, you ought to end on bad terms that
it's
you
not
think.
Like you, it's not like you got a divorce or something. You know, it's like, you know, she got murdered.
Yeah.
You know?
So she's like, okay, he goes, I'll keep, you know, a couple or whatever. But who shows up at the door but the sister? She gets driven to the house and unannounced because he was like, hey, yeah, you can come visit like 2 weeks out.
Yeah, they're planning like for like that, you know, like the 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
And then Darcy, the sister, is just like, hey, you know, you told me I could come.
Yeah.
So here I am.
I think that day was the 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, 2 weeks later from that, you know, you're more than welcome to come out. But she was like,
Darcy's like, I'm here.
Yeah. And she had delivered a package, a giant crate.
Yeah, she actually, when Dr. Timmis actually entered the house, there's this giant wooden box in the corner. And he's like, well, what the hell is this? He's asking his girlfriend, what the hell is this? And she's like, your wife's sister sent us a gift. And then he's kind of like, oh, what the hell is that? And they're like, oh, it was a wooden box with a giant wooden, like...
Yeah, because the sister comes over and opens it because it was locked.
Yeah.
So you couldn't see what was in it. And when the sister comes over, she finally opens it. And he's like, oh, that's, you know, that was your mom's. You know, do you really want to give it to me or whatever? She's like, yeah, you know, she would want me for, you know, want you to have it. And you don't see it at first. Of course, the girlfriend is creeped out by it. And you don't see it at all until later on. She's like, you know, because Dr. Timmis has to go to work that night, and the girl is going to stay.
The girl is actually going to leave, but then lo and behold, somehow her keys mysteriously get.
Yeah. Darcy wants to stay. Yeah, Darcy wants to stay.
Yeah, Darcy's like, hey, well, I'll be fine here by myself.
Yeah.
Which to me is kind of odd because I'd be like, I'm cool. Like,
I don't care who, you know, how close we are, dude. Like, you're unwelcome. One, you showed up unannounced.
Yeah.
And I understand, you know, I was with your sister, you know, and, you know, she was murdered. I get it. But at the same time, it's like, dude, I have to go to work. You know, my girlfriend's going to stay in the city. You know, she's not going to stay at this house overnight, especially with the murder that happened in the same house, you know. So, but she wanted to stay, and Ted's like, fine.
Sign off on it. You can go ahead and, you know.
And of course, the girlfriend's like, dude, really? Like,
but the one thing that I find like the most hilarious, okay, so Darcy, the sister, is blind.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you could stay. Like, don't you think that person being blind, so first of all, they don't know the layout of the house.
Yeah, that's
so true. They don't know where anything is. So even when she has to use the restroom.
Like, yeah, he has to lead her
He has to lead her to the restroom. So, but then you're like, oh, yeah, but we're still cool, like, with all these stairs and crap in here. Like, yeah, you could stay over at the pad. Like, they don't give her a room. Like, you think that they would, like, give her a room, turn down the room, make sure that the bed is there, go get her, like, a little...
Yeah.
And then be like, hey, I gotta be going.
Yeah. Well, they just give her blankets and tell her to crash on the couch, pretty much.
Like, yeah.
She was just gonna sleep on the couch. So she knew where the table was and the restroom was, and, of course, the living room. And then when his girlfriend was gonna leave... And she's like, oh, straight back, you know, to your left, is that's where the kitchen's at and the fridge is there. And she, and even when the girlfriend's leaving, she's like, I'm kind of hungry. Can you make me something? I'm like, well, one, dude, no, you're unwelcomed, you know, because you showed up unannounced and you're going to demand food.
Yeah, they were extremely hospitable about it. You know, the funny part is it's like passive aggressive.
Yeah,
they,
very.
They like are being extremely like, you know, dickish, but then they're also being like extremely like observant of what the person's needs are.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, let me, you know. Let me get you a plate with, you know.
Yeah. Well, because
lovely,
they're trying to cheese. Yeah, they're trying to give her a hint, like, "Hey, dude, you
get
know."
Get to stepping.
Yeah, but of course she can't catch a hint. So his girlfriend can't find her keys to leave. So now she's stuck there with Darcy, and of course she thinks that Darcy hit him somewhere, even though she's blind. But you know, later on we find out that she kind of did hide him.
Yeah.
And so she's, you know, talking to her about, you know, her sister and all that. And pretty much she's like, you know, I wouldn't stay in this house, you know, by myself. The girlfriend's like, I'm not going to stay in this house by myself. You know, that's why I was going to stay in the city. But now I'm stuck with you.
Yeah. Now I don't have any keys to get away. And it's too far of a walk to get away from your freaky ass.
So. Yeah. And so they're talking, eating off of a charcuterie board. And
yeah, because but there's not enough milk, remember? Like, we only have so much milk. I'm like, where does
the milk? Yeah, so much food, yeah.
Yeah, but she said milk. I'm like, who's like, ooh, man, it's 7 p.m. I'm parched. Give me some food and some milk. I'm like, no.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not looking for milk at 7.
But, yeah, so they're eating and talking about pretty much, you know, that she's kind of psychic and she can read, you know, personal items really good that tell people about the person.
Yeah, especially ones that have been close to the skin.
Yeah.
Like that have had lots of contact with the skin.
Yeah, like watch his rings and stuff like that. And she's asking why she was going to stay in the city. And she said, well, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to stay in this house by myself, you know. And she's like, well, you know, do I look stupid? And she's like, no. And she's like, okay, well, I'm an identical twin of my sister, so that means she doesn't look stupid when she stayed in this house, you know, by herself. And I'm like, yeah, dude, but, you know.
Emotional damage.
Yeah, and I'm like, but at the same time, he's like, why would you stay in the house by yourself, though? Like, out in the country, middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Weird people out there. And your dog, you know, your husband is a, you know, a doctor at a psychiatric ward who people.
Yeah, who probably deals with some, like, definitely people who are some.
So when they get released, you know, they don't, you know, you don't want to be near them. Like, oh, you know, Dr. Timmons did this to me, so I'm going to go find him and kill him because he has a demon inside him or something like that, you know. But so she's pretty much like very offended by the girlfriend and asking if, you know, they've met before, you know, were they hooking up before, you know, she passed away. And she pretty much tells her that, you know, Olin didn't kill her sister because she did a reading on the eye. And she tells her, like, you know, a guy named, what was it, Ivan or something?
Ivan
killed her. And he's like, or she's like, well, that's kind of weird that you just know that from an eye. And she's like, I read it, and that's what happened. And the girl's like, all right, I think I'm gonna go crash out now.
Yeah, that's when she like excuses herself and then just like leaves her in the dark, because she walks like halfway up the stairs and then she turns the lights off.
Yeah, I mean she don't really need the
lights. I understand. She don't need the lights, but that's just rude, man. Like,
I don't think she really needs the lights,
man.
Hey,
man.
I'm just saying, like, yeah.
You don't know, man. She might not have been blind her whole life, you know. She might still see colors. Maybe she reads auras. Like, maybe she's got that thing going on. You never know.
True, I guess. Mean,
but still, you could tell kind of she was salty, and she kind of did that on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
You could tell she turned off the lights. Like, bitch, can't see now. But she couldn't see before. Like,
I get it. Yeah, she did it out of spite. Even though she's blind,
she
still did it, like, you know.
She did.
I'm going to leave your ass in the dark, pretty much.
Exactly. You stay down there at the kitchen table.
Yeah. And so she calls her husband on the phone and pretty much tells her, like, hey, she says that Ivan, you know,
somebody named Ivan
killed your wife, and you know, she's pretty much saying that, you know, that Olin didn't do it or whatever. And she's like, oh, well, yeah, she's, you know, kind of weird. So she's like, I don't know.
Yeah, just take everything with a grain of salt. She's,
yeah,
you know, she's a She's a unique character.
Yeah. And he just says, you know, he'll be there in the morning, and that was pretty much it. But when she goes back to the, you know, she's kind of hanging off of the, looking over the living room, the, oh, well, at first, when before that, when they're eating at the table, she took out the man in the box. Yeah,
in the box, there's a wooden man.
Yeah.
And she took it out, and she placed it at the head of the table.
Yeah.
And so the wooden man is just sitting there.
And it has, like, this, like, I don't know, yelling face, I guess you could say. Like,
yeah.
It's very angry, which, you know, which is inspired by the Jewish golem.
Yeah.
You know, the clay golem in Jewish folklore. But it's pretty much just sitting there, like, you know, it's just like watching everybody. But anyways, back to, she leaves her in the dark, and she's asleep on the couch now. And she goes to overlook, to overlook the whole living room and all that dining room. And
looks down, and looking back up at her is...
The statue is looking back up at her.
Yeah, the goyim is looking straight up, just mouth agasp. Like,
which I would have freaked out too, dude. I'm like, bro. Which, the way the golem sits is the same. Like, there's a picture in Dr. Timmons' office, and behind him it's like the, you know, kind of showing you, you know, the insides of, you know, people, whatever, showing you how everything works, whatever. It's doing the same pose.
Yeah, it's got the same mouth.
Yeah.
Like, it's open the same way. Yeah. So
she drops her phone, though, by it. So now she has to go pick it up next to this freaky thing.
Your phone's busted. If you're that, like, I mean, from that far of a height, I mean...
It would have been, yeah.
It would have been done. Like,
yeah. And I'm surprised it didn't wake up the sister at first. But so she goes down there to pick up the stuff, and...
Sister's a tough sleeper, man. She, like, you turn the lights off on her, dude. She's out like a light.
But, dude, like, the suspense that it gives you, because she's very curious about the golem, about the statue, the wooden statue. And she's, like, touching it, whatever, and she's, like, about to stick her fingers in its mouth for some reason. And you think, oh, man, this thing's going to bite down on her fingers. It's going to be like...
Yeah.
But look, it doesn't happen like that. And she notices that there's holes in the back of its head. And she can feel that there's something in them. So she gets, like, tweezers and starts pulling them out.
Yeah, no, she had forceps.
Oh, yeah, forceps,
And I'm like, okay, I understand he's a doctor, but what, there's... Well,
they're lying around.
No, no lie, they're like... I come into contact with forceps all the time. I literally do, which I was about to say, like, who's got forceps? And then I start thinking about it, and I'm like, dude, I got like four pairs at work. And yeah, I can't be talking no trash on the forcep people.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, she starts pulling them out, and like, they're rolled pieces of paper, and they have locks of hair tied around them.
Yeah.
And so she goes through and she opens it up, and it's a picture of the girls
when they were younger.
When they were younger. Then there's another one, and it's pictures of girls when they're older.
Yeah. Then there's a
tooth.
A tooth.
And then at the top one, there's a vial of blood.
Which the tooth might come from. So there's a scene, obviously, it's at the psychiatric ward, and it's a patient, and he's drawing all these different pictures. And one of them is Olin. The other ones are of the other people in the story.
And, like, 10 of them of the golem also.
Yeah, and of the golem.
Yeah.
And when he hears something outside, like a commotion, and when he goes out there, he sees it, but he doesn't show it, and then he hides under the bed. It goes away, kills whoever it needed to kill, and then goes out there, and you find in the room that it's Olin that had been crushed.
Yeah.
And he picks up a tooth. Patient picks up a tooth. And I'm like, oh, that's the tooth that in there. And also, you find out Ted lied about the heart attack.
Yeah.
Because he says that he died of a heart attack.
Yeah. And you can clearly see that, you know, the goyim, like...
Busted its head open, yeah.
Just totally crushed him.
Yeah. And that's how the dude finds the tooth in there and all that. So that's most likely where the tooth is from. Which, how she got it, I don't know. But she got a hold of the tooth.
Well, the goyim brought it to her.
Oh, yeah, most likely, yeah.
Because it killed the guy. It killed Olin because...
She thought Olin
She had dispatched because that's the whole theory behind goyims. Is like they are protectors of the tribe.
Yeah, and they go out and they do the...
do the dirty work. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
And she had dispatched it and the tooth had come back to her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't think about... I don't know why I didn't even put two and two together.
God. Yeah.
But, the other hole, the last one, it has a vial of blood in it.
Yeah.
And that's when Darcy
wakes up.
And she's like, put it back.
Yeah.
So she knows. Obviously, she senses it. She feels that she has been tampering with all the stuff. And so she throws them all back in the hole. And it's just like, it is weird. And that would have freaked me out too. But yeah, she's like, you know, put them back. And
I would have never touched it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have touched it either.
I wouldn't have been like, hey, wait a minute. There's like five bowling ball holes in the back of this thing's head. Yeah. I've already seen it basically animate itself. I'd be like, dude, respect. What's up, little wooden dude? Give him a pound.
That's the thing, dude, is you see it staring up at you, and you still decide to go down and
mess with it. You know that it was front-facing when you left to go upstairs and throw a hissy fit and call your husband. Then you left Darcy down there with it, and you're like, yeah, whatever. And you went up. Then you come back to it and look, and it's like now
it's facing you. Yeah.
Yeah. And what you think, like Darcy's down there, like tapping around in the dark to find the wooden man to put it in different things. Like it's, I don't know, stop motion animation. Like, I don't know. I didn't get that part.
So she freaks out and the girlfriend goes upstairs to sleep. And she's like, good night. That's all she says. It's just good night. And then she goes to bed. She takes the camera with her because she wants to be nosy, I guess, or whatever. And she's looking at their videos of when Ted and his wife were together. And there's a video of them in the tent when they first move into the house. And she's like, oh, you know, it's their first night in the tent. How do you feel, Ted? And points it at him. He's like, I want to get out. Like, but she hears something at the door and she looks and there's nothing there. So she goes back to the video. And she's looking, rewatches the same video, and she's like, oh, how do you feel, Ted? And it points, and it's her, but it's the wife, but dead. She's dead.
Yeah.
And so throws the camera, and she's freaking out, and then the wife is in the corner of the room telling her to run.
Yeah, Danny's giving her a warning to get out of the house.
Yeah, Danny's like, you need to get out. At first, you're like, get out because you're not welcome here, but it turns out get out because
you're in danger.
Yeah. So she freaks out and she takes off and she finds her keys because the little box in the where the wooden figure was is like open and it shuts on its own. And she goes and opens it and it's her keys are in there.
See, what I thought about that was that was kind of like supernatural. I felt like kind of in a way like Danny is trying to like forebode and tell her to get out.
Yeah.
And so the lid to the golem's box closed to kind of show her, bam, this is where it is. Like,
yeah.
This is where your keys are. Like, you know, bells and whistles, look here. Because obviously, like, nothing's going to draw your attention, like the big trap door falling.
Yeah.
So she went and she actually opened it up, and there were her keys.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she boogies right out the door.
Yeah.
Darcy, to hell with Darcy. They'll turn the lights off again. So she just goes ahead and, you know, gets on the road.
That's what I would have done. Shoot.
I would have grabbed Darcy. I mean, dude, it wasn't.
Well, think about it. Darcy brought that thing in, and now you're starting to see weird stuff happen around. Well, she told Ted that she has been seeing his dead wife for a while. But it's been like glimpses, and she sees her figure staring out the window. But she never had an interaction like this, where it's like violent, I guess, kind of not violent, but like a hostile kind of way.
Yeah.
So that's why she books it. And then Darcy comes in and it starts like, come on.
Well, the one person who isn't going to hurt you, the one person who the giant wooden man isn't going to hurt is going to be that blind lady. Yeah. I'm strapping her in and I'm being like, hey, because it can't kill me without killing you.
Yeah. So, true, I guess so. Yeah,
straight,
yeah.
I would have strapped that woman. I would have been like, "Come on, there's more charcuterie trays right here. Come get a taste. We're going to get nuggies. You want some nuggies?" And she'd be like, "Oh, nuggies. That sounds way better than this dirty old cheese you gave me."
Yeah, dirty old cheese and old, you know, pieces of meat.
Old Lee down the road at the slaughtered lamb. He's got tons of milk. Let's go.
Yeah,
you're done. But
no, she ditches her, and so. Ted comes home and he sees
Ted's at work.
Oh, Ted's at work and he's like,
Ted's at work and see, while Ted's at work, the Ivan thing comes into play.
Yeah.
So there's an orderly in there who's like super creepy, telling like these weird stories, just like totally off-putting. And he kind of feels like that guy in Happy Gilmore. Yeah. Hey, you want to go to Red Lobster? You know that guy? So yeah. I kind of got that vibe off this Ivan guy.
Yeah.
So Ivan just wants to be Dr. Tennis's best friend. He's yeah. like, dude, like, I'll do anything for you, buddy. And you get this weird, like, relationship. So they're sitting there playing chess. And the doctor's, like, throwing out these, like, scenarios. Like, oh, you know, if a monkey was attacking you with a hatchet, well, I'd kill the monkey and pop his eyeballs or some garbage like that.
Yeah.
But you can tell he's just, like, giving, like, an over-exaggerated response so that, like, Dr. Timmons thinks he's, like, a badass, you know? Yeah. Like, But
also, Ted is also giving these scenarios because he wants to see, like, what Ivan will
do. Absolutely. He wants to see how far he will take it.
Yeah.
So then you realize that he calls him Ivan, and lo and behold, even though the husband said, oh, I know no one named Ivan.
Yeah,
don't know anybody. He told his wife, his girlfriend, that he didn't know anyone named Ivan. But then lo and behold, he's sitting there playing freaking chess at work with a strange orderly by the name of Ivan.
Yeah.
So when the wife found that out, the girlfriend found that out, she put two and two together.
Yeah.
So there's even more of a reason to leave the house at this time.
True, yeah, I guess so. Does she ever find out that...
Yeah, she found out.
Yeah, because he tells him.
Found out because, remember, he lied about not knowing anyone named Ivan. And lo and behold, he's at work playing Parcheesi with Ivan.
Yeah.
So,
but that's a flashback, though.
Yeah. But you realize it, and that's what comes into play.
Yeah.
And so she takes off, and Doc's at work doing his thing, you know, playing with Ivan.
Yeah. And Ivan's harassing all the patients. But yeah, so he comes home. Well, we find out in the flashback that he's talking to Ivan. He comes back home, and he finds that, you know, his girlfriend's not there. And then he finds Darcy upstairs, pretty much, like, cowering, kind of. And he's like, well, you know, what's wrong? What's going on? She tells it all. She's like, you know, Olin didn't kill my sister. And she pretty much spills out how Ted is the one who killed the sister, sent somebody to come kill her. And pretty much, you know, she pretty much tells him, like, she would have been, you know, if you would have just divorced her, you know, she would have been hurt, but I would have been there for her. But instead you decided to kill her, and now I'm hurt, you know, pretty much. And he's like, you sound ridiculous. Like, this whole supernatural stuff, like, who told you this? Like, you know, and she's like, the eye is what told me. Like, I read it, and it told me everything that Olin saw and that you and what he heard. And pretty much it flashes back to Ted talking to Ivan about killing, you know, going in and killing his wife. And through the vent, that's how Olin hears about
what's going on. The funny part is, even Ivan's like, dude, why don't you just, like, divorce her?
Yeah, even Ivan at first was like, dude, just divorce her. And he's like, no, I just moved into this house. And he's saying, if I divorce her, she's going to keep the house and keep all the stuff and whatever. But, dude, it's not about that. It's like...
Yeah, and it's kind of like more like his credibility would be, like, you know, questioned if they got a divorce.
Yeah.
Killing someone, my credibility stands firm. I'm solid like a rock. But divorcing someone?
Yeah.
Oh, lordy, lordy. They're going to think I'm a bad person.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. But you see Olin, like, literally listening through the vents like a prisoner.
Yeah, and when he's released, that's when he goes and tries to...
Yeah, because he was released 2 weeks later.
Yeah, and he tries to go save his wife.
Yeah, and he's the one who actually showed up at the house to try and save Danny.
Yeah.
And so you can see he was, you know, he was good of heart. He was pure of heart.
Yeah.
The whole time.
And so Ted's like, dude, you sound ridiculous. Like, why don't you, then if that's the case, like, call the cops and tell them all this. And she's like, no, you're going to call the cops. Like, you're going to tell them everything. And she's like, I was going to kill you. Like, I wanted to kill you, but no, you're going to lose. I want you to lose everything. Like, you know, your job, your credibility, your house, everything. Like, your girlfriend, I want you to lose everything. And he's like, you know what? He goes, I'm going to go, you know.
I'm going to go back to my office.
Oh, he's like talking about the cop that he knows.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know.
He keeps giving these, like, weird scenarios. He's like, I'm going to, like, first of all, they're like an hour or whatever from the city.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I'll tell you what, like, I'll go back to my office and call the people that are, and it's like,
yeah, and I'll have them call you.
Yeah, because the detective that basically investigated the case, he's the one who found the proof that, like, Olin killed my, you know, killed my wife.
Yeah.
And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and I'll talk to him and I'll have him call you. I'm going to leave you my cell phone.
Yeah.
And he, like...
Which, do you think that was just somebody playing as a cop because she's blind and she probably didn't know who the hell she was talking to, maybe? Could be.
I think she probably knew, but at this point, no matter how skeptical you are, you got to start putting two and two together.
Yeah.
If this woman told you that she touched the eye and she knows all this stuff that she probably shouldn't know.
Yeah.
Then why are you going to leave your phone, which you probably keep in your pant pocket or your jacket pocket that you touch like 100,000 times a day? Why would you leave that there? Yeah. Because obviously she's going to see your next move because she's going to grab your phone.
Yeah.
But anyways, he leaves his phone.
Yeah. But it's because she can't see what he did. That's why.
Yeah.
So he leaves and he goes back to the office. He's like, look, I'm going to leave my phone here and I'm going to call it. And if it rings, answer it.
Yeah, and they left Darcy in the dark again for another hour to drive back to...
Yeah, you know. And Ted goes back to the office, and he has a private conversation with Ivan. He's like, dude, you know, because Ivan had gone into the shop before and met the sister, and he goes, I thought you didn't talk to her. He goes, I didn't. He goes, I didn't talk to her. He goes, then how does she know all this stuff? He's like,
I don't know, dude. Because Ivan kind of reveals, like, hey, why didn't you, you know, we're such good friends when we were at Red Lobster. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me that your wife had a sister?
A twin sister.
Because obviously now this piece of garbage that killed Danny sees pretty much, like, Danny has dark hair, dark eyes.
Yeah.
Obviously, Darcy, being blind, has, like,
lighter eyes, yeah.
It's completely light eyes and completely white hair. So it's like night and day. It's like the yin and yang. Like, yeah. I killed Yang, and now Ying is here looking at me like I'm freaked out.
Yeah.
So even Ivan's got the heebie-jeebies on this one.
He probably saw, like, he saw a ghost or something, man.
Oh, I'll bet you any money. Like I said, dressed in, like, you know,
white and
70s like, fashion, yeah. Like, dressed very pristine with, like, white hair. Because his wife dressed kind of casual, like,
yeah.
You know, but. So, yeah. So he's like, hold on. So he calls over to the house. And the phone starts ringing. You hear the phone ringing. And she doesn't go for it the first couple times.
No.
And then you see her not going for it. And for some odd reason, when Danny was redoing the house, they cut a hole out like a trap door.
It's like a trap door, yeah.
But it's like on the second level. So I didn't really understand. Like, I can understand, cut, you know, pier and beam. You cut in the bottom, you can gain access. Well, I don't know why she cut it out unless it was to get supplies from, like, the second floor, like stuff that was too heavy to go up all the stairs.
Yeah,
like
maybe, that's the only thing I could think of.
Maybe she used a pulley or something.
I mean, there had to be a reason for that hatch to be there. But, yeah, there's a hatch on the second floor.
So you see now that, you know, the good doctor has removed the wood.
Yeah, because even at this moment, you're still like, Ted might be still a good guy and Darcy might just be kind of delusional.
Yeah, she might be overreacting.
But once you see that the hatch, he removed the door to the hatch, so that way when she goes for the phone, she falls in.
And perishes.
Yeah, and she eventually, she doesn't think to, but then she goes for the phone and she ends up falling down the hatch to the second, or to the first floor.
Yeah.
And so Ted not getting the phone call because he realizes, okay, she fell, she's good. I need Ivan to finish the job now. He needs to go and kill the second half, pretty much, of the, you know, of this whole thing. A simple divorce. I mean, it's not simple, obviously, but I think a divorce would have been better than this complicated web of lies right here. And so Ivan goes back, you know, to the house, and he's going to go finish the job, sees the wooden man sitting there, and he goes upstairs, and he calls the doctor on his phone, but he calls the office phone, and he's like, oh, I found your phone, it's broken. He goes, and then Ted's like, oh, can it be fixed? And he's like, no, it's beyond all repair. And because the sister is now, not, she's bleeding out on the floor,
yeah,
now, but he tells the sister, you know, like, you know, you know, you pretty much are going to die.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. And the sister's like, no, you know, we're connected. And well, she's talking to the sister. She sees the sister pretty much through the hatch. And that's when she wakes up the wooden statue and it goes after him.
Yep.
It's a good little chase. You know, he goes upstairs and now he has no way out, even though he probably could have dropped down the hatch, but then he would have fell on the sister, I guess. But he sees no way out. The clay man's or the wooden man's coming for him, which it looks really freaky. Like, it's just the way it moves. And so he's like, oh, I got to jump off the balcony now to the first floor. Yep. So he jumps off and he breaks his leg. And the wooden man comes and is about to pop its head like it did with...
Yeah, crush his head into a bunch of little pieces.
Yeah, and it does it. And the next scene, and unfortunately, you know, Darcy passes away. And Ivan wakes up in the psychiatric ward. And Ted's the one overlooking him. Like, hey, man, you all right? You know, what did you see in there? He goes, oh, no, he said that he wanted a priest so he can confess. And he goes, what are you going to confess? He goes, all that I've done. He goes, you're not going to talk about any of this to anybody. And he's like, no, I'll just say what I did, wrongs.
I'll say that I did it. I won't bring you up at all.
Yeah. He goes, you're really risking to go to jail for it? And he's like, I'd rather spend life in jail than eternity in hell for what I've done. Because that wooden dude came to life.
And then the skeptic comes back and he's like, there is no God. There's no hell.
Yeah. And he's like, when you came to, the nurse said that you were talking about a wooden man and this and that. He goes, he was real. I did see him. He was about to kill me. He attacked me. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I can't let you out because, you know, if they find out about the murders, you know, pretty much he's saying like,
it'll hurt my reputation.
But even though you let Olin out and then you blamed Olin
for
the murder, so wouldn't that still taint your reputation? The doctor?
I think Ivan probably had more dirt on him. Him and Ivan were like more, you know, on a more friendly basis.
True, yeah.
Olin, you could definitely use the insanity because like you, like Olin.
Oh yeah, because he was like.
Olin couldn't tell you like what your wife wore on your wedding day.
Yeah, he goes, the murderer who murdered my wife and then my sister-in-law. And I hired you, befriended you, and pretty much, you know, had you walking around this place. He goes, I can't do that. And he's like, it'd be a shame if, you know, one of these patients got out pretty much and, you know,
did something. So he uses a psychopath against a psychopath and lets some creepy, like.
Who's wearing like a Hannibal Lecter mask and.
Yeah.
He lets him out and he goes in and. Bites Ivan's toe.
He bites his toe right off. It's just like, damn, man. You kind of feel bad for him, but then like he's real dickish through the whole movie.
So he's an ass too, because he was talking about how before that he was talking to Ted about how he would always visit the school that he used to go to, the Catholic school, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And they, you know, have a wooden cross or a metal cross where to mark the, you know, pretty much where it was founded or whatever. And he would go every year, he goes there and twists the cross and breaks it off. But each year they keep replacing it. I'm like, oh, you're just a dick. That's all you are. You're just an asshole. I mean, don't get me wrong. The Catholic Church is, doesn't have a great reputation. Yeah. So he has no toe, you know, he gets bitten off.
I'm pretty sure it went south from there, but you know.
Yeah. He probably got killed or got hurt even worse.
Yeah.
But Ted goes back home and he's done it. He's killed off his wife and his sister-in-law who was trying to, you know, get him. So he calls his girlfriend up and she's like, dude, I'm not going back to that freaky ass house with those ghosts in there. Like, no, I'm not. Don't talk to me ever again. Like, we're done. You and your haunted mansion. And that was it. And he's like, all right, well, I'm done. But he finds a package on his front door.
Well, don't forget he burns the golem.
Oh, yeah, and he burns the
golem. He burns the wooden man.
Yeah, he burns the statue.
Yeah, he burns it down, so basically it can't be dispatched to attack him.
Yeah, well, so, because the owner is dead.
Yeah, both owners are dead.
Yeah.
Like, the twins, the pact with the family died with them, so obviously the wooden man allows itself to be destroyed.
Yeah.
And that was before, obviously, the whole Ivan, you know, scenario.
Yeah.
So now he's feeling like he's, you know, he's home free. Ivan's dead, being eaten by the other lunatic. Two Sisters' Pact is broken, which he doesn't believe in anyways.
Yeah.
But he burned the wooden doll that everyone had become so fascinated with.
Yeah.
He did that. So now he goes back home and, you know, he's going to... I mean, he wasn't living. They weren't living in the estate yet, but that's where he goes. And so he goes there to, you know, settle down, I guess get some breakfast or something, because he's sitting at the table and, yeah, the little package is there.
Yeah, he opens it up and it's the bell that Darcy had.
That had showed him from the curio shop.
Yeah.
So.
And, of course, there's like a slight belief, like, you know, the story she told me. But, of course, he's very arrogant and he's like, dude, none of this is real. So he rings the bell. And then at first he's like, oh, did I hear something like behind me? And he looks behind me, behind himself. And he's like, ah, there's nothing here. And like, he just starts laughing. And then camera does a wide shot and there's the bellboy.
Right next to him.
Right next to him.
Yeah.
And so at least it has a good conclusion. However, I think the ending should have been like more scarier. I think it should have been like a, like the bellboy should have been like right behind him or at least put his hands on him.
I thought it was great because like you leave with confusion. You don't know. Like it's like the movie, just every random thought that you have that, you know, every scenario that you've already worked out in your head.
Yeah.
Wasn't met. It's like you expect Darcy to survive. You expect Darcy to have. You expect her to have like a handful of aces and be like, hey, listen. I've got this. I touched the eye. I know Ivan did it. I know Ivan works with you. Blah, and she puts all the puzzles together. No. No, even when she gets the winning hand, she still loses.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and...
Yeah, because she dies before the wooden man
can kill
him, can kill Ivan.
Yeah.
So Ivan doesn't die. I mean, he dies at the hand of Ted, though.
Yeah, he dies at the hand of Ted. He doesn't die at the hand of the Goyim. He just basically, like, keeps on going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not at all how you would expect it to work out.
It's a satisfying yet unsatisfying ending because you don't get, obviously, what you want.
You don't get the satisfaction of the death.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it comes down to the point of the people who are satisfied, to me, the people who are satisfied with the death scene, the final deal being the death.
Yeah.
They get denied that because the people who were granted that final, like, obviously, like, Darcy and Danny, they've gone on to peace.
Yeah, true.
Just like Ivan. The villains are not going to die because it's basically a turn. So you're going to see them. They have to live. They have to live in their own hell. Their suffering is their torment.
True, yeah.
So you're not going to get the satisfaction to watch them die and die quickly. They're going to sit there like Olin. Olin went quick. The Goyim came in... You know, he could have done that with Ivan. There didn't have to be a hunt going on. It wasn't like Ivan was some strapping young lad who could run around like, you know, freaking, I don't know, like Captain Jack Sparrow or something. He couldn't get away and climb up a rope. Like he was upstairs like, your phone's broken.
You know? And then he jumps down and breaks his
leg. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, it was a lot of good stuff in this movie. But, yeah, it does have you thinking like, oh, it's going to end up like this. And it.
Yeah.
It totally doesn't.
Think again.
Yeah, poor Olin, man. I felt bad for him. But Olin is also a character from, what's it called? From Danny McCarthy's short film, How Olin Lost His Eye. And that's how you find out how he loses, you know, his...
Now, that was great. I watched that. That was just...
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's on YouTube.
I would have had to have gone and seen Dr. Timmis myself if I watched that movie. Like, because seriously, like, it's just this kid walking past this, like, abandoned tenement. There's something moving around in it, and he keeps looking through this knot hole.
Yeah.
At what's going on, and he sees things moving in there. And rather than being like, oh, holy smokes, there's some stuff moving in there. Like, I better watch myself. He's, like, piqued. His curiosity is, like, on point. Then he starts, like, dropping little tiny oodles in there. Like, why is he paying boons to this little creature?
Yeah.
That's linking around. It's not like a creature in a squat needs money.
Yeah, true.
It was just moving around. It wasn't like alms for the poor or anything. But he just starts throwing oodles, and he's patting himself down. He's robbing himself to get more to feed the beast in the house.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I think 6 minutes was perfect for that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I have not been jump scared in a lifetime. I have not been scared by anything like that. And there's a scene in there, and I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to give you a spoiler.
Yeah, it's 5 minutes. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's 6 minutes. You YouTube it. But there's a scene.
It's called How Olden Lost His Eye. And it's by Damien McCarthy. And he, you know, it's really, really good. But yeah, I mean, this movie was great. And I recommend people checking it out if you don't have it on Shudder. I mean, if you don't have or AMC Plus or anything like that. You know, rent it. It's really, really good. It has you thinking. It has you, you know, kind of just, oh man, it has you all over the place. And just the reveal at the end of when everything comes to a conclusion, it ties it well together, and it gives you an unsatisfying ending, but a satisfying yet unsatisfying ending. Like,
yeah.
You know, you get to eat, but you're not going to be full. Like, yeah. You're still going to want some more.
The one thing I will say about watching it, and this might have just been something that I took away from it. Man, the monkey references. There was a lot. There was a lot of comparative lines between it and the monkey. Like, things just kept pulling up. So, for instance, both sisters are twins.
Yeah.
And maybe I just watched the monkey too soon. You know, watched this.
Could be,
soon. But, I mean, there was a lot of stuff. Like, when you go into Darcy's Curio shop, there's the monkey with the symbols.
Yeah.
Then if you look at it, there's the rabbit from the caveat.
Yeah.
And the rabbit doll in the caveat, who's like the possessed being, has symbols.
Yeah.
But it has a drum as opposed to a cymbal.
Yeah.
And so it's like the reversal that they did with the monkey, which is totally weird because it wasn't like they got in touch with Disney and were like, hey, are you going to like try and sue us if we try to use the symbols? So it was actually the reversal with the caveat. The rabbit has a drum and it uses the symbols, or pardon me, vice versa.
Yeah.
And it was like really weird. And I was like,
it is kind of a weird comparison.
It is like just all those things adding up.
That a year later, the monkey comes out. But of course, the monkey has a different, you know.
Yeah. It's a completely different vibe. It's a completely different movie. But I do like the fact that, you know, there were so many things that pulled into the movie we just did like week before last.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, overall, I mean, I would give it like a strong 8 out of 10. You know, like you said, you know, the ending, it was more psychological.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, if you're, you know, into the slasher films, I don't think you're going to take as much away from this movie.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, if you're into, you know, some psychological, you know, supernatural.
Yeah, this is the movie for you, man. Yeah, check it out. I mean, it is really, really good.
And plus, I mean, you know, you've kind of got to watch it because you're kind of committed, because obviously it's, you know, St. Patrick's Day next Tuesday. And you know,
and most of these actors are Irish.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The actresses and all that.
Yeah. You go on the IMDb page and it's just, you know.
Yeah. And they, they're probably somewhere on the countryside.
Yeah.
Most likely. But yeah, this is really good. And hopefully we can do the Leprechaun.
Oh.
Obviously, in tradition of St. Patrick's Day, we have to do something.
The Leprechaun would not be a hard push.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. But yeah, that was Oddity. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you enjoyed our little take on it and what we thought about it and what we liked about it. You know, follow us on Instagram if you haven't yet.
Subscribe.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Please, you know, leave a review wherever you can. Give us 5 stars wherever you can, and just share this anywhere with anybody. I mean, strangers. No, but you know, spread it around. You know, people who love horror movies, they like, you know, listening to people's takes on certain horror movies. You know, spread it around, and we just hope y'all have a great weekend, great rest of the week, a good day, and we'll see y'all next week.